similar to, I just watched Rear Window this morning. On topic.
Very nice. That is on topic.
Yeah.
Speaking of topics, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
What are we talking about today?
Boobs.
Close.
Close.
Child serial killers.
Child killers.
Who knew there are so many of them out there?
Yeah. I had the idea for this because there is a man named Khalil Wheeler Weaver.
Yep.
Who was just arrested in New Jersey, and he's one of the youngest serial killers that's ever been captured in this nation. He was 19 at the time he committed his crimes. He's suspected in 3 murders: New Jersey City University student Sarah Butler, and then Joanne Brown and Robin West, who apparently did nothing with their lives because they have no credits. But he's killed the 3 of them. He's very young, and that gave me the idea to look into young serial killers, and holy shit!
You know what? Yeah. What's interesting is 2 of them are his age.
Yeah.
But one of them's 33. So it's like, well, how did he come into contact with her?
I think she might have been a prostitute.
Ugh, they deserve it.
Yeah, that's kind of the running theme when it comes to serial killers is, oh, it was a prostitute. Well, she does live a life of sin.
Well, and mm-hmm. the police force as well seems to.
Yeah, yeah.
They weigh on the side of what's the point.
Yeah, they're not going to give you a lot of pushback if you kill a prostitute.
Well, what can they push back with? There's no family members. There's no...
Yeah. That's how the Grim Sleeper operated.
You spilled wine.
You spilled wine on your clothes? Yes. That's not like you, Carrie.
No.
I don't believe it for a second.
Very un-Carrie-deristic.
Oh, wow.
We have a lot of fun,
Adam,
on this podcast.
You are too much.
I don't know where I get this
too
stuff.
Much. It's too funny.
I am on hour 28 of being awake.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. That it'll keep with the theme because last time we recorded 2, and by the end of the second one, you might as well have been up for 28 hours.
I had to invent a whole new character to get through.
Yeah, that was fun. That was such a fun episode.
I like your characters. The people like your characters, Caitlin.
This would be a good one for, come on, let's hear Tiny Stalker.
Don't worry.
Talking about the kid murders.
No, you'll see. Just give it a second.
Okay.
I got to ease into it.
Yeah.
Right now, the only thing that's
The
only thing that's looping through my mind is the phrase.
She'll do it when she's goddamn ready.
Well, fine.
Babies killing babies. That's all I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Just shaking my head.
Well,
babies killing babies.
We'll get to the babies killing babies.
You're right.
After this one.
Yeah, it gets more literal as it goes on.
Yeah. So, Khalil Weaver, that's been in the news a lot lately. I'm sure people are familiar.
Old hat by now.
Yeah. If not, do some Googling because he's the murderer who inspired this. But who should we talk about first? Should we talk about James Fairweather?
Yeah, also sounds like a weather cat, like a weather person.
Looks a lot like my good friend Alex Schmidt.
I would be thundery thunderclouds.
Is that right?
He does.
He looks
look like
a lot like Alex Schmidt.
Sorry, Alex.
Sorry, Alex. You are a serial killer.
By the way, Alex probably didn't kill anybody.
Probably not, but God, that looks like him.
Does look like Alex.
You should do a side by side.
Yeah.
It's scary, like how many people this guy looks like, though. I don't mean to say.
Wait, he was bullied for his prominent ears. Can you show the picture again?
I sure can. Those ears are actually very prominent. It's one of the things he was bullied for, which we'll find.
I don't think they're that bad. I mean, they stick out a bit, but
maybe.
But to a school kid, if your ears are prominent at all, the other kids are just going to be.
He also might have just
assholes who deserve to be murdered.
A horrible personality, and that was the easiest thing to hang on to.
Yeah, because
I mean, if you go on to kill people, let's just say that, you know, the baseline personality of this young man is probably not something that people like to be around. And kids are funny. Kids like, look. Bullying is terrible, so let's just table that. But
Wheatley backpack.
Yeah, that was me, but I didn't care. See, that's the other thing is like I was bullied a lot as a kid, but I was fine. Like I hear a lot of people super traumatized by their experience, and I don't relate to it because I look back at myself and I think I get it. Like I was a weird kid. Like I could see why that happened, but especially considering this guy, I think these kids were picking up on like. Yeah, maybe there's something not okay with this person.
Well, yeah, he was autistic also, or is autistic. But on top of being bullied, when he would get bullied, he would start bullying younger kids.
Right, not okay.
That's
weird.
And he was involved in a bunch of violent incidents. He was in all the lowest sets of classes. And his classmates, after he was arrested, recalled him choosing murderer when asked to explain his desired career, which, true story, I said assassin when asked that question on the first day at a new job.
Are you were you serious?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was joking, but also how cool, because then you're just killing the bad guys.
Well,
I think
assassin is, you at least have a pension.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you're not getting.
Assassin, that's like professional.
You've got health care. It's sanctioned by the government who you're right. killing. You are,
it's completely different.
You're cool.
Yeah.
You're cool.
You smoke. You wear sunglasses. You shoot bad guys.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a dolphin trainer.
That's the
okay.
Female.
Now that's suspect. Now that
I was going to say that's the girl version of assassin.
Yeah,
I think young women. I think at one point every young girl, especially girls that grew up in the 80s and 90s, at one point thought maybe I'll be a dolphin trainer.
Every girl in the sixth grade wants to do something with animals. You want to be a marine biologist. All of them.
White people love a dolphin.
I wanted to be an
man.
Architect.
Do they love dolphins?
I feel like though I would be the person at SeaWorld who would end up getting killed by a whale. drugged down into the water and drowned.
No, Carrie.
Yeah.
I'm the one that ends up getting eaten by a whale.
I think we might, maybe both of us?
No, you're the one that's like on the news afterwards and you're like,
oh, talking
I was
about
right there.
My good friend Caitlin.
It was crazy.
And I'll be honest, fight or flight, I would run.
You would run. I'd be like, what is happening?
In water?
No, I would run away if I saw the whale drag her into the water.
She's Jesus-like when she needs to be.
Especially with the wine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You'd be surprised how Carrie can manifest wine. I've seen it in person. It's like a magic trick. It's shocking. Like in a car?
Car wine.
Disco
That's
water.
That's true. Yes. We were going somewhere, you did something good, and I was like, let's celebrate. And I reached in my back seat and pulled out a 4-pack of wine.
It was like spare wine in a car. like an umbrella. It was like for emergencies only. Yeah. It was great. No,
it
was fabulous.
You never know. You never know when you're going to need it.
I didn't complain. I drank.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is cool.
So James Fairweather, he also threatened a Columbine-style massacre at a school assembly. And his peers brushed this off as posturing. He's in England, so.
Yeah.
Oh, got
That's
it.
What they all sound like.
Okay. I was like,
you love this. Caitlin loves this.
I was worried for us. I didn't know what was. I just heard a lot of high-pitched stuff.
Oh, no, she loves England.
Oh.
What's your perfect day?
Oh, my perfect day is driving through the countryside.
Driving through the countryside.
And then?
Listening to Bette Midler's songs.
Yep.
Eating a biscuit.
No.
Fancy some bangers and mash, then.
Now I know why you were upset with the West Virginia thing.
I am from West Virginia. Governor.
Ooh, yes, we're all from West Virginia. It's fabulous here. Oh, no, my son James is just posturing. I'm sure he didn't actually mean that he wanted to kill 17 people in an assembly.
These fucking transplants with the weird accents moving into West Virginia.
I assure you, sir, I've been here for many generations.
I paved the way for you hipsters. So James Fairweather. Carrie is really trying to wrestle the podcast out of this moment. That's fine. Let's move on. He was also convicted of knife point robbery of cigars, which the way that sentence is structured kind of sounds like he robbed cigars. But I think he stole cigars from people at knife point.
I would be more worried watching someone try to rob from cigars, though. That would definitely be a red flag.
Yeah. You lock them up for longer, if that.
They weren't even Cuban ones. I don't know why I thought you'd get anything out of them.
Sometimes it's just the thrill of stealing.
Yeah.
I went through a period where I stole a lot.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I sold CDs in high school, and I would just take orders from people and then go to the mall and just shoplift what they wanted.
Oh, my God.
And I would come back and sell like CDs still sealed in the box for like $8.
I would be way too scared to do any of that.
It was so easy because the way this rack was arranged, if you knelt down, the person at the cash register couldn't see you. So you could just flip through and grab a bunch of CDs and then kneel down, put them in your coat, walk out to your car, throw those in the trunk.
They didn't have cameras at the time, right?
No.
Yeah. In the Midwest, I felt like it was so easy. I remember my friend went with her sister's birth certificate and got a fake ID when we were like 17.
Holy shit.
So we could get into clubs.
So we committed some crimes as kids.
I was...
Finger me.
Yep.
The closest thing that I ever got to committing a crime was...
Oh.
Oh, no.
I'm bracing myself for a nerd
never
story.
Mind. No, I want to hear it. It's so much worse than I even remembered. I just realized the whole story.
It's going to be a story about you beating someone with your wheelie backpack.
No. This is more of why people picked on me, because I was such a weird kid. I went through a period where I was collecting locks.
What?
Of hair?
No.
Like James? Like
that would be less weird.
Like
yeah, actually.
Like padlocks. Like locks. I started collecting locks. I don't know.
That's really fucking weird. I've never heard of that. Yeah. Like, there's got to be some sort of medical condition.
Foresight. That's going to get to be such a heavy collection someday.
I like it. Right? One more finger. Finger honestly. Me again. Yeah.
We did it.
Oh my God. Okay. So sometimes I had a friend that would.
You had a lock guy.
I feel like the friend was imaginary. It's so much dorkier that you're giving me too much credit, even with that joke. My friend was a cheerleader, like a young, she was in like junior high and whatever. No, this like was Pop elementary Warner? School. It was like Pop Warner. Okay. So sometimes when I was bored, I would just go to practice with her because I had literally nothing to do. And I would just like watch people practice cheerleading, even though the whole prospect of it terrified me and I would never do it myself.
Sure.
So there was this gate with all of these bikes behind the gate. And I looked over and I saw all these locks in this like bike yard.
And so, he thought you had won the lottery.
So
I can't stop lifting my dress.
I literally picked bike locks to steal the lock and not the bike.
Nerd!
And I didn't even put any of that together until I was much older. And one day there was this guy and he walked up. He's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh," and I was like, "I'm busted." Like, I started freaking out, and the reaction I gave him was like, he caught me stealing a bike, but I was like afraid of being caught for stealing this lock. Did not put this together at all. And so he's like,
"So you like blocked it out for years?"
Yeah, but
I would have too.
Yeah. So what I do remember about it was he's like, "Are you trying to steal that bike?" And I was like, "No. I would never steal a bike." He's like, "Well, why are you picking the locks?" And I was like, "I collect locks," which sounded like the biggest lie in the world. He's like, "Get out of here." I was like, "I'm sorry, sir." Like, scurried away.
That is awesome.
You're
married and we're not.
But also, it points to why I never stole anything, because I always got caught doing, if I tried to do anything bad, I got caught. Always. Yeah. Every single time.
See, I never did. I should have tried murder.
Good, yeah.
I should have tried murder to see how it worked out.
Yeah,
yeah. But it wouldn't be as fun. I'm not a kid anymore. Now I'm just a creepy dude
who's
killing people.
Killing people. I'm not like old James Fairweather here.
Who was a creep?
Yeah, he was a super duper creep. He committed all these crimes, and then in 2014 decided he was going to start doing some murders. He claimed he had voices in his head that told him to go out and do things. And his first victim was a father of five named James Atfield, who he encountered laying down in a park after a night of drinking.
Well, then, like a prostitute.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not exactly father coming. Of the year.
"Hey, Jamie, look at that guy."
Yay!
"Hey, James, take a look at the guy. He's just laying there. He's a very tired man. You should kill him. You should kill him with a pick a knife or something."
And he listened to the tiny stalker in his head.
It's still funny.
It is.
Being awake for 28 hours and hearing that.
I think that's what makes it funny, but okay.
Could be. So he encounters James Atfield, stabbed and slashed him more than 100 times.
1, 2, 4, 5. Shit, start over. 1, 2, 3. I'll run out of room. 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's real messy.
His injuries were so gruesome, they've still never been described.
Which is crazy. I've never heard that.
By authorities. Yeah, I haven't either. I'm assuming there's some genital.
What? Yeah.
Some gens got mutilated.
I think he probably masturbated into a goat.
Why do you always bring up this masturbating into a goat skull? Where did you get this?
What?
Sorry, this is from our podcast.
It's like our thing.
Masturbating into goat skulls?
She's on several occasions asserted that this
is... I guess
is
I don't have to do your podcast.
A profession.
Fine.
You don't.
If you do it, though, you know what you have to do.
I'll bring my B-Y-O-G-S.
You got to be ready with Carrie. You know, you got to have like a good catcher's mitt for topics. Here comes another meatball.
Life.
So James Fairweather, after he killed James Atfield, 3 months later, he killed a 31-year-old student at the University of Essex. Does anyone watch The Only Way is Essex?
No.
It's like a British reality show. You would fucking love it.
No, Kara. I would fucking hate it.
Why?
Because I hate British.
This it's is like way stuff. More your style.
It's like hot I tubs do like and shit.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
But I don't like British. I actually don't like British accents.
But they're, well, I these are like really obnoxious.
Well, you don't have to like these people. They're reality
I would
show.
Watch it on me.
These are the people who actually speak the way I speak when I do a British accent.
Oh, I'm a lady, I am.
Take me for a ride, babe.
I don't think I'd like that.
Let's go for a spin, babe.
No, I think they had one person from England on The Real World, and I did not like that person.
Wow. Trump's America over here. No Brits in the U.S. Get them out.
Just do a whole Brexit episode. Make Carrie do the notes. We should.
So 3 months after he killed James Atfield, he kills 31-year-old Nahid Almanea. She was a student at the University of Essex. She was found stabbed to death in overgrown grass next to Sallery Brook Trail, a short distance from her home. She'd been stabbed in the abdomen, brain, and both eyes. And when he was arrested, he said he had to stab her in the eyes so she could not see evil.
Sallery Brook Trail, is that where Jeff's going on his next honeymoon?
Next honeymoon?
Yeah, probably. I think so. That sounds about right.
And the case
can
went...
Can you imagine Jeff in England?
No.
No.
No, I don't think they'll allow him in.
Not in the slightest. This case went cold for an entire year. He stopped killing because they made it hard for him to kill because they were looking for this chap now. And it was finally solved when a year later, a woman named Michelle Sadler was out walking her dog. Good puppy.
But he had already been, looks like,
yeah, they interviewed him about the
with
murders.
69 other people.
But
I wonder how they ruled him out.
Yeah, I think they just couldn't find just any evidence that he was involved in this.
He might not have been ruled out considering he got caught later. It's just...
Well, yeah. Him being caught completely...
Yeah, it was kind of a... He was waiting for his third victim. He was planning to kill someone at the time he was caught.
Because he looked creepy.
Yeah, this woman felt... She said she felt intimidated and anxious by his presence, and she decided to call the police. The police pull up on him. For one, he's wearing this very distinctive Italian-style jacket that they had already associated with the previous crimes. And he's wearing latex gloves, which, that's not a good look in public.
Gotta keep your hand clean. You got it. So we're looking for number three, and you gotta keep your nails nice and clean, because we work real hard on those nails.
Those are his guitar-playing nails.
Ew, he's got, like, one cocaine nail.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's so Mexican.
I hate that, like, acoustic.
Did you say that's so Mexican?
Jesus.
I need a nap.
Do you? I don't think a nap is the term for it. You just need to go to bed.
Yeah, you need to, like... Yeah, you need to sleep.
You need to sleep until tomorrow.
Yeah.
We only got 4 more hours left in this podcast.
We're going to be fine.
So that was when James Fairweather's crimes came to an end. The police arrested him. He eventually confessed and admitted that when they found him, he was looking for his third victim.
All right. You're right. I'm sorry. I was looking for my third. You're right. My
you
bad.
You caught me.
Sorry. My bad. You got me. I got my gloves.
I was walking around London here.
I got my jacket.
No.
You got
what?
That's not how they talk.
Agree to disagree.
I like that you have one voice. Caitlin has like 100. I have 0.
What do I need? What are you trying to like foster division between me and Caitlin here?
You have like a universal accent.
Jeff has a lot of voices. Why don't you ever bring those up?
I don't listen to Jeff May.
Oh.
Ever.
So you don't listen to the podcasts?
I don't, but it's because
neither do I.
It's because of Jeff May.
Yeah, I don't listen to him either.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Bullshit.
So let's move
throw
on
pox
to
at his house.
Let's move on to Willie Bosket Jr.
Yeah, Willie Bosket.
This guy is a super exciting story. He is still to this day considered New York State's most dangerous inmate.
That's such a weird honor.
It is weird, but it'll make sense. He, of course, had a troubled childhood, which is a thing we're going to encounter with pretty much all of these people.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Mm.
His father, Willie Sr., killed two people in a Milwaukee pawn shop shortly after Willie Jr. was conceived. And he was sentenced to life in prison. His mother was a neglectful monster who barely paid any attention to him. And he earned a reputation as a violent child. At one point, he told authorities he'd grow up to be a killer just like his father.
Role models are important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You want to have something to look up to. And sure enough, at the age of 15, he shot and killed a woman named Noelle Perez during an attempted robbery on a New York City subway train. 8 days later, he killed a man named Moises Perez, no relation, at the back of a different subway train. And in between that, shot and killed a New York City transit employee. But here's the hitch. He was only 15 at the time.
Sure.
And because of his age...
Oh, this drives me crazy.
Yeah. Because of his age, the maximum sentence he could receive was 5 years. And what's really interesting about it is at the time, the governor of New York was named Hugh Carey. He was running against someone who wanted to get tougher on child crime. And Hugh Carey was like, no, that seems unnecessary. And then this happened. And Hugh Carey immediately called a session and was like, we need to start charging these motherfuckers as adults. And the Juvenile Offender Act of 1978 was born. And under that act, children as young as 13 could be tried as adults. But Willie Bosket Jr. had already committed his crime, so that didn't apply to him. So after serving 1 year in a youth facility, he escaped. He was caught 2 years later and tried as an adult for the escape attempt. Sentenced to 4 years in state prison.
Still not enough.
Still not enough. Released in 1983, and after being out for all of 100 days, committed another robbery assault that earned him a 7-year prison sentence. While awaiting trial for that crime, he was accused of assaulting several court officers.
Stacks on stacks on stacks.
Hugh Carey. He sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
That was Harry Carey, who did not write that song.
Nope.
But just sang it at Cubs games.
Harry Carey.
He was an announcer for the Cubs and also New York mayor.
Nope.
Harry Carey.
Nope.
Was the Cubs.
Hugh.
This podcast is over. So this kid gets really interesting after he goes to prison, because all of this we just listed happened through the age of like 15.
This is the prologue.
Yeah. And once he gets to prison, he continues just committing acts of violence against prison guards.
He just doesn't care.
Especially heinous acts of violence.
Sure.
And three assaults in particular earn him 25 years to life sentences, which run consecutively. So,
oh my God.
As soon as one's over, he starts the next one. And that's what earned him the title of New York's most dangerous inmate. Get this shit. He has been in solitary confinement since 1988.
That's who I need to write.
No, I don't think you should write this one.
Please do not.
I might.
Please don't.
Now that we've told her not to, she's definitely
going
to.
I definitely will.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserves it. I don't have a problem with it, but...
Okay. He's housed in a specially built plexiglass lined cell with four video cameras watching him at all times. His cell contains only a cot and a toilet. He's allowed no personal possessions.
Because he swallows shit. Like, he will swallow things to try and get...
Could you imagine having people watch you shit?
Yeah. It's insane. He's allowed out of his cell for 1 hour a day, still shackled, and guards are forbidden from speaking to him. Yeah. How crazy. Like, you spend that much of your time. The earliest he's going to be released from prison is 2062, when he'll be 100 years old. The earliest he's going to be allowed to leave solitary confinement is 2046. And he's been in there since 88.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that, with this guy. Like, I don't...
Oh, yeah. He's a nightmare.
I still think, like, someone like this should be studied.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully for sure. That's what they're doing with...
Didn't they do that with Ted Bundy's brain?
Well, with his brain, but I just think, I don't know, it's interesting, because like the prospect of someone like this in solitary confinement, I don't know how much you could actually learn from someone like that.
Yeah.
Because they're not interacting with anybody, so, you know, you can't really see their personality until they're interacting with someone, but, I mean, someone that's just like bent on killing people. Well,
watching him, though, I think would be interesting.
Oh, sure, I'm sure they've got,
like, if he swallows stuff, I mean, yeah. Left to his own devices.
I mean, if he really wants to hurt people, there's still ways to do it by forcing the people that are stuck monitoring him to witness certain things. There's also that, but that's completely abstract. I don't know if that's the case.
What if he masturbates?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. There's a lot of different things. I'm sure he masturbates.
I mean, who does?
I think at a certain you point.
Would? I would, yes.
Even knowing there was four cameras?
Yeah.
If you've been monitored for.
Are you like Liam Neeson?
What?
What?
Do you have like a Liam Neeson dick like you're trying to show off?
No, oh. I'm just in a prison cell. I'm going to jerk off. Like, what else? Horny. They have nothing else for him.
I just think that if I'm monitored 24/7 at that point, yeah. It's the same thing as not being monitored.
I'm not breaking eye contact with the camera the whole time.
That's what I'm saying.
Just glaring
that's,
at
that's
it.
How you would that's how you would fuck them up. Like, yeah. That's all you would have.
Yeah.
But that might get old too. I don't know. Since 1988, I'm not sure.
It's going to get old for someone eventually.
I just don't care what happens to this person.
By the way, you could have said that you're sack like Liam Neeson.
I don't. I've never seen Liam Neeson's dick. I don't know.
Why would you set him up for something?
What's happening? What's happening?
We can go back to child murderers.
Oh, good. Thanks,
okay,
Carrie.
Okay, good.
All right, we're back. I like when Carrie sets us up with impossible fake dilemmas.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not logical, but we still can't get out.
Nope.
It's a Black Mirror episode about that.
Chinese handcuffs.
Finger cuffs, those are called.
It's finger trap also is another, but not finger cuffs.
Finger cuffs.
Chinese
finger me.
Hi. That was Japanese, but whatever.
Yeah, close enough.
All right.
So in total, this guy has been in prison or reformatories for all but 18 months since the age of 9, and he spent all but 100 days of his adult life in prison. Damn. That's a long time.
Well, if he can't not kill people.
Well, yeah.
That's what prison's for. Not for everybody who's in prison, but definitely for that guy.
Yeah. So who do we have left? We only have 2 people left. We are just
sailing through these child murders.
We're just
breezing through.
Oh, it's such a relaxing topic.
Are we doing Jesse Pomeroy next?
Yeah, let's talk about Jesse Pomeroy. Say it with me. He was abused as a child. Boo!
He was abused as a child.
He didn't have a neglectful mother, but he did have a very enabling mother, which we'll hear more about LP. Soon.
Yeah. Well, also, it's just funny to think about.
Are you still? You said Belky. Are we still Elke. Talking?
So that was Michael Alec's mother from Party from Party Monster.
Oh, sure. Why is Caitlin sobbing right now? What is this story going to be? You have wrecked Caitlin.
That's kind of it.
She's just managed to talk about her other podcast again, and I'm not sure how this keeps happening.
That was the whole story? You just said someone's name and like their credits. Are they going to come out and do stand up?
I just want to pull this back for a second because the second please. You said enabling mother, I looked at Carrie. Carrie thought that I was thinking of the same person. And in fact, I was, but I was more concerned that she was going to bring it up for no reason. Oh. And that's exactly what she did.
At least she's lifting her dress again.
You guys, I should not do this after partying again.
Really?
Oh, really?
I find I do most things better after I've been partying for 24 hours. Just adds a certain edge.
And an entire small case of white wine.
Yeah.
She's got the to-go bottles of Barefoot Chardonnay going.
Like the little plain versions.
Yep.
Yep.
Train wine.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about Jesse Pomeroy. It's probably pronounced Jesse, but I gave it a little flair there.
Give it a little English. That's cool.
He had an enabling mother. We'll get to that in a second. Made fun of by fellow school kids because of a deformity.
Caitlin.
Yes, just like Caitlin, he had an eye condition that caused one of his eyes basically to just look like a white marble, which a thing not a lot of people know about Caitlin. That creepy white eye. That she covers so with a contact tall. Lens.
She's so tall.
Yeah. It's just like a beacon floating at you.
They are looking at your eye right now. You sit there smiling and you don't say nothing. You just think about the way you're going to kill them. You're going to hang your eye out, live in your ear now. And tell you things about the world.
Oh,
your eye. It. Your eye is beautiful. No matter what they say. Words can't bring me down. No.
What, guys? Why are you looking at me? I was just what's sitting here staring at you.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Oh, what, my eye?
Oh, this? No, yeah. It's just what I use to murder people.
Yeah, just like that's what shoots out of my head.
So this kid's enabling mother, she reminds me of, remember Todd Kohlhepp?
Yes.
The guy who chained a woman up.
Another enabling mother.
Right, yes. Right. This kid's mother reminds me of her because in Jesse Pomeroy's mom's opinion, the problem was that he had been bullied so much.
It's other, yeah.
That it forced him to bully other people. And if they would just leave him alone, all reacting. His problems would go away. And that was her belief. And in late 1871, this is one that happened a long, long time ago, in the city of Chelsea, just across the river from Charlestown, children began to suffer vicious beatings at the hands of a boy some described as bigger, taller, and stronger than they were. Some were sexually assaulted as well.
Jesus.
That's like a kite runner. That's some kite runner shit.
Yeah.
It really is, actually.
Terrifying. And he would befriend them, offer them money or treats, and then take them to a remote location and basically assault and torture these kids. He came to be known as the boy torturer or the red devil. And a description of him was eventually published in the Boston Globe, which his mom recognized immediately. So instead of reporting her bastard kid to the police,
no.
She just moved the family to South Boston.
That's what you do.
Yeah. And in August of 1872, a young boy was found tortured on the sands of South Boston. That following September, another child was discovered beaten, assaulted, and tied to a telephone post in South Boston. But unlike the rest of the victims, this one gave a very good description of his assailant, including the fact that he had a very peculiar right eye, a white eye that resembled a marble.
Like Caitlin's.
Caitlin's weird eye, boo!
Don't let them say nothing about your eye. You got a very pretty eye. It's prettier than any of the other eyes out there. You know what you should do? You should find a nice telephone pole and you stick someone on it.
Stick someone on it.
Just do some stuff.
A like pawpaw tree.
Just take a little fingernail off or something. They don't need no fingernail. You got no eye, they don't need a fingernail. Show them how the world really works. I like Boston.
And who doesn't?
Who doesn't? I've never been there.
Oh, it's fun. I think you would like it. Yeah. They all talk like you're West Virginia.
Why would they talk like West Virginia?
I don't know.
So Jesse Pomeroy, he was arrested and due to his age was sentenced to the state reform school at Westboro for what should have been the rest of his youth years for 6 years. But here comes mom again.
Good old mom, helicopter mom.
And she somehow managed to get him released after just 6 months.
You know she's a letter writer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Aggressive yeah. letter writer. Holiday letter writer, too. Yeah. For sure.
This is what's going on with my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year for Christmas, some colorful things have happened around the household.
I think her name is Nancy. Come on, Nance. What else is going on?
We've discovered a neat little pile of dead cats in our backyard this year. I'm not really sure where that came from, but my son is so creative. I'm sure he knows where it came from.
This creepy fucking kid. So after she gets him out on March 18th, 1874, Katie Curran disappears from her home in South Boston. She had gone out to buy a notebook and was never seen again.
Nerd.
And
1874, that's so long ago.
Yeah. It really is.
They had notebooks?
Yes. Mm-mm. Those were invented in 1973.
What do you think they were writing on things? Like the Flintstones? Bark. Like just giant piece bark.
Stone. Engraving into stone.
Yeah.
Dear Diana, I'm very happy to announce today that we invented paper.
That was me chiseling into stone.
On your Modelo beer can.
Yep. Absolutely. So she, after they looked into it, it was discovered that the last place she had been was the Pomeroy's shop where Jesse worked. She had wandered into the neighborhood. And 5 weeks after her disappearance, they eventually found her body. And then 5 weeks after her disappearance, they found another boy dead on a beach in South Boston, Horace Millen. And they finally, on September 7th, 1876, just 3 months shy of Jesse Pomeroy's 17th birthday, he was locked up in the Massachusetts State Prison in Charlestown, where he grew into adulthood and old age behind the walls in solitary confinement.
That's a popular choice for these young offenders.
But I did read eventually, he spent most of his time learning law shit and like filing appeals for his case.
Always.
Which... Mm-hmm.
He learned from his mom.
Yeah, which obviously didn't work. But then near the end of his life, they let him out of solitary confinement and into regular general population in his 70s, where he joined a prison minstrel show.
Oh, what a son of a bitch.
Yeah. So he ended his life.
I think that's the best case scenario, though.
For him to be musically racist, I guess.
Yeah. For him to he died doing what he loved, wearing blackface.
I'm finally getting to be who I really am. Dear Mama's grave, because you're dead now. I just want you to know that I feel much better now that I get to put on this blackface and sing to all the other prisoners. I made friends. I'm not the only one to kill people. Did you know that? To other people with my hobby. I have friends with like interests.
Friends with like interests. Oh, tiny stalker. You're wild. So that was Jesse Pomeroy.
This next kid is the scariest thing that you found since we've started doing the show.
Yeah, this was really terrifying. I had never heard of him. His name's Amarjeet Sada, and he is the world's youngest known serial killer. He committed 3 murders at the age of 8.
Yeah, this kid came out evil.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
This is like when people try to tell me that there's no such thing as evil. This is the kind of thing I think about. I'm like, wrong. That there is evil, and you're an asshole.
It's like with pets. There are just going to be some pets that are born in a way that their brains don't allow them to socialize with people and other pets. And there are people like that too who are born the exact same way. They can't be around people without.
And like pets, depending on the environment, you can be groomed one way or the other, apparently, you know, obviously. But there are, I mean, at 8 years old, if you're killing things at people at eight years old, you're not okay. You're crazy.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Good reference.
That's a great addition to this discussion.
I would also like to say, I can't think what it's called. Evilkin?
I would also like to say.
Evil lives here.
Chicken tikka masala.
Carrie would like to phone a friend.
If you see, I swear it's Evil Lives Here on ID.
Yeah, of course I've seen it.
Yes. And so they talk about how they have a brother or sister or son or whatever that has like.
Just born evil.
Yeah, just born evil. And there was this one couple who was super religious and their son was big into murder and arson. But they were like, we couldn't not watch him. Like if
that would be awful.
He was in the pool with like our daughter, like we had to watch, or he'd like drown her, you know, like push her underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like something was always off with him.
And that's kind of the case with Amarjeet Sada.
I would say.
All of his victims were under 1 year old.
It's so gross.
His first killing was in 2006. He murdered his 6-month-old cousin, who was the daughter of his maternal uncle. Shortly after that, he murdered his own 8-month-old sister. And here's one of the most disturbing parts is after those 2 murders, there were family members and villagers who were aware that he was involved in the murders, but they considered it a family matter, you know, like the ABC sitcom. And they didn't do anything about it. They just took his fucking iPod or something, probably.
There's so many issues, especially in the 50s or whatever, where...
Did I do that? That's, like, all I'm thinking.
But, like, a man could beat his wife, and it was like, it's a domestic thing.
Yeah.
Like, they would lock her up. It was just okay. Yeah.
No, it's still like that.
Or they can whip their kids.
Over the world, it's like that right now, still. It's like that.
I don't like it.
No, well, that's... I agree. I don't like it either.
Yeah.
So his family didn't do anything to stop any of this. And then in 2007, he killed again, this time a neighbor's 6-month-old daughter named, you ready for this? Kushboo, which, cute.
Boobs!
Name. Why are you going to kill Kushboo? That's such a cute name.
Well, Kushboo?
Kushboobs.
Why would you kill Kushboo?
I'm sad about Kushboo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about all of them.
Kushboo's mother, Chun Chun Devi, left her daughter at the village primary school to sleep while she tended to her chores. When she returned, her daughter was gone, and villagers who knew of Amarjeet's past murders confronted him regarding Kushboo's disappearance, and they said he seemed to be proud of what he did, and happily recounted the tale of how he killed the girl. He then led villagers to a shallow grave he had dug and showed them her body. And when he was interviewed by police, he said, I think what we would all say in this situation, Capta de Marmar Kesura de la Yay.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I'd want to say.
That's what comes
Which
out.
Means I killed by beating her with a brick. Basically, what he would do is take these kids out to a field and lay them down and just pummel their fucking head with a huge rock. Well, the first two he strangled.
Babies killing babies.
Well, yeah, and then hit them with a rock. Yeah.
Jesus.
And it's
so gross.
Yeah, and that's how.
Why can't that kid get bullied?
Oh, he exactly. probably was.
I hope so.
And then he's taking it out on obviously something weaker.
Ugh. And he was finally arrested May 30th, 2007. And the police just said that he spoke little but smiled a lot.
Ah, and
when he was questioned further, he just smiled a lot and asked for biscuits.
Yeah, I just got done killing these babies. I'm real hungry. You got any biscuits? I like biscuits. Chocolate biscuits, please. Thank you.
Now, I don't know if this part is accurate, but he was later examined by psychological professionals who concluded he was suffering from a conduct disorder. That seems a little over the top.
Fuck.
Like, yeah, he's got a conduct disorder. He murders kids who are under
one. See, there are people out there that think every child is a fucking angel that deserves all of the things. And the thing is that we all...
Kill them.
The accident of birth...
Kill the children.
The accident of birth is just, look, you're born into something. You got a lot, you got nothing, you got these things. And there's a lot of things working against you or a lot of things working for you. But it drives me up the fucking wall when people look at children and just think, oh, well, they're all great.
Yeah.
That's just not right. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm
sure he tortured animals, too.
Of course he did.
Didn't know about it. It's always a gateway.
Yeah.
It's like well, the pot of killing.
If you're in a community where they deal with the first infant death as a family matter, you could probably stand to reason that there isn't a lot of supervision going on in this place.
Right.
Like, everybody's looking the other way no matter what. I mean, it's terrifying.
It really is. Yeah, and keep in mind, this all happened in another country where a lot of times sentencing for stuff like this is very lenient. And at the time he committed these murders, the most he could have been sentenced to prison was 3 years.
Insane.
And a writer for a blog called the Postmortem Post published an article about this. And at the end was kind of speculating as to where this kid is now. Cause this happened in 2007. Yeah. So this kid's not even 20 yet. And he published this article speculating on where this kid was. And the kid wrote to him.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That's what I need to write.
No.
I will.
No.
Yep, I will.
He wrote and said that he was living in a children's home, which he'll be released from at the age of 18.
That's terrifying
and that's the last anyone heard of this young maniac from India. God damn. That's a crazy story.
The thing where he's just smiling and asking for biscuits is just like the creepiest.
Yeah. And just really excited about having committed these murders when people ask.
But it's like, nuts. What a pussy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, kill an adult, idiot.
Yeah.
If you're going to kill.
Yeah, drag your dad to that field.
Well, actually, I think that's what's even scarier about him is that he assessed, I mean, clearly wanted to kill someone. He knew what kind of person he could kill
with his
size.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He worked it all out. It's very creepy.
Yeah. I think the worst part of that story is the part where the family just lets him keep killing and never tells anybody. You know,
families are always fucked up. I mean, there's so many things that nobody... Yeah, like, we all sit and watch... Like, I don't. But there's a whole... We live in a country where a whole bunch of people sit and still watch Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
And this Mama June bitch. Even though her ex-boyfriend was convicted of molesting her own kids, nobody cares.
He was?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, he looks like a rapist, though.
He's a pedophile, like established and convicted pedophile.
I think they met. They got back together. Site.
They got back together for a little while, even after he was convicted of assaulting her.
Didn't
own kids.
She like lose a bunch of weight and she's like hot now?
Not. It's not possible. She could not be hot. She might have lost weight, but there's no way that sow of a human being could ever be attractive.
Yeah.
I don't care. I think she's a.
Does she have gastric bypass?
Probably.
She's literally the worst America has to offer, like hands down.
Kind of.
You put your child. In
Honey Boo Boo should not be in pageants.
First of all, absolutely. Not a pretty little girl. Sorry, just not a pretty little girl. And then she gives her...
It's a rough show to be a kid, this episode.
Not a shitty kid. I don't care about shitty kids. I don't want to be around shitty kids.
Well, yeah, of course.
I was just talking to somebody about how, like, you spend your whole life around other people's kids. And yeah. you have to exhibit some modicum of self-control and be polite when they're just being a little evil psychopath. We were talking about how I'm sure a lot of people have kids and just, like, lose it on the fact that they finally have a kid that they can be like, will you just shut the fuck up? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, ah! And I mean, not that that's good, but I think that a lot of, like, weird internal rage could be handled by letting the village raise the kid a little bit more and not just like, well, it's not my child. Because I grew up in a house where my dad was definitely should not have been left alone with kids. he was just a crazy alcoholic. Somebody should have said something.
Right.
Just somebody, but nobody ever did. And there's thousands of kids like that all over the place. Just crazy thought.
I think your dad sounds fun.
He is fun if it's not your dad. If he's not your dad, it's a lot of fun.
It's how most awful dads are.
Yeah, exactly. Cool dad.
Cool dad. All right. We should probably get out of here. You have to leave at 4 anyway.
Yeah, I got to get going.
It's 4 o'clock now.
Got to get going.
We should wrap up. Do we have anything to plug? This was a fun episode.
Good time. Glad we talked about child murder.
So upbeat. This was nice. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Hey, you should listen to White Wine True Crime. You can find us on iTunes or on our website, whitewinetruecrime.com, or you can follow us on Instagram, White Wine True Crime, or you can follow us on Facebook, White Wine True Crime, or you can follow me on Twitter, at Bossy Matilda.
Carrie, can you be found anywhere?
I can. I can be found. I live a few blocks away from the Grove. Carrie Martin 722 on Twitter, Carrie Martin 22 on Instagram, and I have a tour coming up with no tour dates. Adam.
I will be at the Venice Underground Show April 5th. Come to that. It's always a fun show.
Yeah.
Follow us on the socials at Unpops on Twitter and Snapchat and all the places at unpops.podcast on Instagram. Give us good ratings and reviews on iTunes.
Please.
Please, pretty please.
Pretty and please, boo.
Boo.
Subscribe on ConnectPal if you don't already. It's $4.99 a month and you get 10 podcasts a week.
That's, and you can see us on PUI, right?
That's 12.5 cents per episode. You can see us on PUI if you just go to the Unpops Twitter. We retweeted it there, and you'll see the link there.
Fun.
It's a good show.
That was fun.
It was lots of fun. And this was fun.
This is fun.
So much fun.
I found out Chet Wilde had one kidney.
Yeah. There's revelations galore.
Yep. All right, everybody. I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Carrie.
Pretty scary boo.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Oh, 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 oh